Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we hear that song, and Lord, we want to see you. We want to see you. Lord, in a fresh, real way, just fill this place. Fill each of our hearts, Lord, and remove the concerns that maybe you're there in front of us right now, so that we can see you. God, we think of those needs that are among us as a church, and we pray for them. We pray, Lord, for each individual in this group. Lord, you know their names. Lord, we pray for those who couldn't be here today. You know who couldn't be here. God, we're just so thankful we can come and pray. And we can even say, we just want to see you. We just want to see you. Father, that's our prayer. Even as we open your word today, speak to our hearts, that we be prepared for what you have for us. Pray this to your glory and your honor above all. Amen. Yet boy was driving a hay rack. How many of you know what a hay rack is? It's a place where you put hay. He's driving a hay rack down the road when the wagon fell over in front of the farmer's house. And the farmer came out and he saw the young boy crying, and he said to the young boy, he said, you know, son, wait, don't worry about this. We can fix this. But right now, dinner's ready. So why don't you just come on in and eat with us, and then I'll help you put the hay back on the rack. I said, no. He said, no, I can't. He said, my father's going to be very angry with me. Farmer said, well, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your father. He said, you just come in, have some dinner, and you'll feel so much better. I said, well, I'm worried. I'm just so afraid that my father's going to be very angry with me. Farmer said, come on. Have to eat. Have to take a little bit of a break from this. Feel much better. Farmer and the young boy went inside. They had dinner. It was good. And afterwards, as they walked outside to the hay rack, the farmer sat down, son. He said, don't you feel better after that great meal, after just taking a bit of a break away from this catastrophe? And the boy said, well, yeah, I kind of do. He said, But I just know that my father's going to be very angry with me. The farmer said, well, that's just nonsense. Where is your father anyway? The boy said, well, he's underneath that wagon right there. We're going to talk about worry this morning. How many of you are presidents of the club? No. Because I'm there. Signed up a long time ago. I don't know what it is that you're thinking over and over about today, but I do know that if you were here, faith is suffering. I know that. We're doing a series on saving faith, and we started a couple of Sundays ago with Mother's Day, and the last Sunday we talked about how to save faith, and today we're talking about defeating worry. Defeating worry. And I invite you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2 as we look at this passage of scripture in Habakkuk. It's right after Nahum. That helps you out, doesn't it? Just before Zephaniah. Now that even helps more. That gives you everything. Habakkuk's right in there in the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm going to read it before we jump in here. Habakkuk chapter 2. Because we got burgers frying, and I'll make sure they're well done. Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Here's the Lord's answer. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain in tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it will linger. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he's puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. God has blessed his word today. You see, in order to defeat worry, you got to first of all record a vision. You got to record a vision. You see, Habakkuk chapter 2 started in verse 2. Well, it talks about visions. Now, it can be talked about many kinds of visions, but I think it's talking mainly about the things we want to see happen in our life. How many of you would just love to see something happen in your life? The rest of you are probably watching TV or something. I don't know. Everyone's got to have a vision. You've got to know what you're working for. You've got to know what you're working towards, what you're living for. Write it down. My vision is pretty simple. I just want to help people get free. To live free from bondage, to heal from their hurt, to receive peace and joy in their life in a new, fresh way. I want people to have hope. I want them to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Get to know Jesus better. Get closer to Jesus. I write down things that I believe the Lord is doing and will continue to do to help hurting people. Because that's what my vision is. That's what I want to do with my life. It says here in verse 2. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Now that's not H-O-R, you know. Herald, H-A-R, sorry. That's a herald, somebody who just loves to talk about it. Somebody like me, a mouth, you know? If something awful happens to people when they lose sight of their vision, you have to keep what you're believing for in front of you, because if you don't, there's so many things out there that make it look like we're not going to get it. Don't you know there are a lot of voices out there screaming, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. Look how long it's been. Just look at you. You're worse now than when you started. Never if you believe for a whole lot and get half of it, then believe for nothing, get all of it. At least you're believing for something, if you at least believe for a whole lot, get half of it. You'd rather believe for that than nothing. And get nothing. You've got to have a vision for your life. If you don't have a vision for your life, you better get one. Your vision will help you defeat your worry as long as you don't make it something in which you worry about all the time. Oh, how am I going to help people? You know? Might be keep your house clean. Or might be get your house clean. I don't know. Might be to read your Bible daily. I know the Quest is putting on the market. The Quest has a vision is to lead people one step closer to Jesus Christ. That's a great vision. They're doing the vision. How many of you have some kind of a vision for something better than you've got right now? How many of you have a vision for your spiritual life? You want to be closer to God. You want to hear from God. That's what I want. Oh. Write down the revelation they complain in tablets for the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits. Oh. At a point in time, it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. You know what that means? The vision you have gets closer every day. Closer every day. And it will not deceive you, it will not disappoint you, and you gotta wait for it because it will come. It gets closer every day. See, because I'd love to just bring him into the world. You know? Love to help people be free. Put our faith in God and believe God is working, even though we can't see what he's doing, even though we don't see any signs, we believe in our heart, not what we see with our eyes, but what we feel, not what other people tell us, not what the devil tells us, what's in our heart. You saw this family up here, they're dedicating the midwife because of their heart, believing in their heart. It brought them to this place where they're dedicating their child to God. In their heart, they believed it. And it's happened. Every day got closer and closer to this time. If God put it in your heart, then you can't get rid of it. God gives a vision of your heart. And it seems, I gotta tell you, sometimes the vision just seems so outrageous. Everyone thinks you're crazy. You know, you're going around your tower. Guess what? I'm gonna set people free and change our world. He's crazy. The devil says it can't be done. And you have to wait for God's timing to get it done. I love the way the Message Bible puts these verses. And then God answered. Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. Because we're so busy. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow and coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. One thing I come back then with God. God usually isn't early. But praise Him, He won't be late. He'll come right on time. Why do you suppose it is that God waits for the last minute to get stuff done? Has it ever happened to you? I pray in the middle of the minute. But also, it happened one day. How did that happen? I just needed the answer yesterday, so I knew it was going to be okay tomorrow. God comes just at the right time and answers. Because He knows that we need to be stretched. Sometimes God uses situations to stretch us. I mean, some of you are feeling stretched right now. You're tired of exercise. I'm stretching all the time. Come on, seniors. And you feel like sometimes that you're being stretched beyond what you can do, beyond your capacity. But that's good, because if you're never stretched beyond what you can do, you can never do more. You've got to be stretched. It never ceases to amaze me what a human being can accomplish for God if they just let God stretch them. Many of you have been stressed. You've been stressed by getting ready for your child's wedding. You know? You've been stressed at your job. You've been stressed by your spouse. You've been stressed doing the dishes, the laundry. I mean, I've been stressed out there. Seriously, I didn't know that you could put lights and darts together and get pink. There's a little sign in the doctor's office that said this: don't just sit there and worry. What most people do in the doctor's office. Well, I'm going to be okay. How do you think this is going to go? I don't know. I do that in the dentist's office. What if he's going to drill too far? I heard that don't you say anything to Jeremy, no? See, you need something to think about. And it should be something that will improve your life. Not have you worry about your life all the time. It should be something to improve your life. You've got to have a vision. You have no idea what you're capable of if you just stretch yourself. Some people think that they can't even get up in the morning, do the dishes, go to work, and drive back home. That's a stretching thing. But you need to be stretched by having a vision, writing it down, and saying, this is huge for my life. But God, is this really what you want me to do? And I'm going to do it in your time. With defeating worry, you've got to report a vision. Defeating worry, you've got to release yourself. That's likely the most difficult aspect of defeating worry, but once you get this, you'll receive the peace you're so desperate for. You're desperate for peace. I tell you, you know, we've been walking through the number of years a vision for this church. And I tell you right now, we've got to keep waiting. God has got it in His perfect time. He's going to release His power in the vision for this place. I'll tell you that right now. But we have to go through an awful lot of releasing self to get to this point. See, releasing yourself. If you look at verse 4, I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. But the rigidly just "An uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness." I like the word rigidness, because I'm occasionally accused of being rigid. What's it says? The proud man. What's a proud man? A proud man is someone who's trying to please himself. And his soul's not right, because it's in turmoil all the time. I can do this. I can get this done. It's all about me. If you want to defeat worry, you need to realize that God will get it done, and he doesn't need you. He may use you, but you have to release yourself. But the just, the man who lives right before God, lives by faith, believing God will do it in his time. See, we don't make our dreams and visions come to pass by moving your pride, stepping in to make it happen ourselves. Just live by faith. You can quit worrying over what you think you need to do and enter the rest of God. And the choice is up to you. You can finagle around, try to get your way. You can manipulate people to change them the way you think they should be. You can try, you can struggle, you can be frustrated, you can worry all the time over all those things. Or you can pray and leave it with God and enter his rest in a pressuring way. You see, you can face the facts today. I can't make this happen. I can't make this happen. Can you say that with me? I can't make this happen. Oh, you're on the line. God is doing his own thing, not yours. My job is to pray. I'm a believer. I believe. Not an achiever. We're called believers, not achievers. I'm not supposed to go off and achieve something. I'm supposed to believe something. It's amazing when I think back all the time, I'm trying to achieve something. Always trying to achieve something. You know? I try to solve all the world's problems. And, you know, somebody tell me something that's woo. I'll come back to you on that. Let me, you know, be going through books and manuals and everything, like searching. Instead, all I need to do is just go and pray. And I'll pray about it. I'll pray. See, I'm wearing out. And that's why I try to wear this trying not to, because I was wearing out trying to do it all myself when all I needed to do was let God do it. I just needed to try him. That's it. If you're going to try anything, try him. See, God is more than you'll ever need. So we wear ourselves out trying to push all these buttons to get what we think is right out of the people, situations, and problems. And then God comes along, and he just goes, isn't that amazing? We're trying everything. And then all of a sudden, God just, done. How many things can we worry about that our worrying doesn't change a thing? So you can either do things natural or way. You can swipe and pull and you carry the burden. You can trust your will to, you can trust God along with your life and let God take care of the situation. It's not about personal ability. It's about trusting God. You know, Jenny's hearing spoke yesterday at the tea as you were going here in the gym. She spoke of blessing be a blessing. And she stood to speak. It was amazing how God just took her words and used them. But she knew, she said, wasn't about personal God. It's about trusting God. And she didn't understand me. She didn't even know I was going to be there. But I was going to be there. A few other people speak. You know, God wants you to do it, it'll work out. I said, if God wants you to do it, it will work out. If God wants you to have it, he will give it to you. You will get it if he wants you to have it. So you don't have to stay up all night worrying about it. Amen? Some of you aren't believing this yet. You'll get there. The Biscaglia said, worry never robs tomorrow, but sorrow it always saps today of its joy. It's true.
Two.
Heard about a cup of coffee that says on its, good morning. Cup of coffee. Coffee cup, sorry. Good morning. This is God. I'll be handling all of your problems today, and I won't need your help. So have a nice day. Love, God. God's God. And he is in control, but and he wants to handle the problems, the trials, the situations in our life. He wants you to accomplish the vision that God has for your life. But he wants to do it in his time. I read about a couple, I was reading this book, and I read about this couple. It has a dinner guest over. How many of you have ever had dinner guests over? You know, all the other people need to have dinner guests over. Or maybe you can get the three of you need to make they had a wonderful table sat in. The evening began with sitting in the living room, just chatting before the meal, having a great time. Husband named Bill, and took one of those, you know, those extended lighter things and lit the candles on the fireplace mantle. You know, took these candles. You know what I'm talking about, you know, one of those extended lighters. And a beautiful ambiance in the living room. And then it was time to go eat dinner, so they sat at the dinner table, and they took their seats, and the husband Bill, one of them, his wife Megan, sat at the opposite end, and their guests sat on the other side, and they were enjoying a conversation. All of a sudden, Megan says, Bill, excuse me, what did you do with the lighter? Bill said, what? Well, what did you do with the lighter? You know, you lit the candles on the fireplace, but what did you do with the lighter? Bill says, well, I don't know. Okay, so they keep talking. Conversation. A few minutes go by, maybe it goes, well, did you set it like on the mantle, Bill? Did you set the lighter on the mantle, or where did you set the lighter? Like, was it on the mantle, or was it down on the floor? Like, was it on the floor? Bill said, I really don't know. I think I set it down. I don't know where I set it down. Bill, will the kids get to it? You know, that light bulb thing? Bill says, well, I don't think so. Besides, there's a lock on it. Really hard to get it. Continue conversation with friends. Maggie's talking. Bill's talking. And, you know, they're having a good time. And I was like, Bill! You know, Bill's the lock on? I mean, can they get that lighter on? Can they actually flick it and get it on, Bill? Bill doesn't say anymore. Bill gets up, he goes to the room, and he brings back the lighter that was on the mantel. And Maggie says, thanks. You're not going to believe this, but I just couldn't stop thinking about that. Where he does that to? Somehow, we started believing that our worry will affect change in other people, take care of our problem, curb our situations. A fellow by the name of James said to his friend, he said, don't worry, seated next to him, he drove right through a red light, big intersection. James is back. James said, my brother Dean does this all the time, he never gets caught. Right through a red light. Come on to the next intersection, red light. James again, speeding right through. Don't worry, James assured his now terror-stricken friend. Like I said, Dean does this every day, nothing ever happens to him. The next intersection, the light was green. James stomped on the brakes. The car skidded. The police stopped inches in front of the stop light. His friend was just gasping. Why do you run through all the red lights and stop when it's green? His friend, thinking, seriously, please stop. What's going on? He said, Mom's afraid that Dean might be coming through the other way. Oh, I was just stopping at the green lights. We got so many green lights in front of us. We're stopping. We're running through the red light. God gives us a green light, and we're just like, stop, pull back. I don't know if I can get it done. We're zooming through red lights, and God says, don't pull down here. Putting this in front of you. Stop. Bottom line is, there's always going to be a bottom line. Bottom line is, if someone was doing something, they're going out to mess up their life and get into trouble, you worry about it, is it going to stop them? is that if you're in a situation right now, it might be in meeting with your employer, I don't know, maybe something at job, it might be something that's going on in your home, let me assure you something, your worry is not going to change a thing. Because situations, people need prayers, not your worry. They need your faith, not your doubt, not your unbelief. Well, praise God, I'm a believer. You know what? The church is full of non-believing believers. Well, I believe God. Then, if you do, why are you worried? Well, I'm trusting God. If you're trusting God, why are you so upset all the time? See? You see what worry does? It takes away your faith. Put your life in God's hands and let Him give you, I say give you, you can't earn it, give you. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Boy, that sounds so much better than worry. Defeating worry and record a vision, you've got to release yourself and you've got to remember one day at a time. How many of you know that song, One Day at a Time? You ever heard of it? How many of you know Patsy Cline? Have you ever heard of Patsy Cline? Okay. You could have sang the song. I thought you all knew it. Look at this. Write down the revelation, make it plain in tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits your time.
Many things come at you at once, always say, that's what stresses me most.
When you have many things that are coming to you and your mind at one time, your mind just goes crazy, and then we just say, God, how do you expect me to handle all this stuff? You know what he said? One day at a time. One day at a time. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. God's already here. That's a little plaque that Fanny gave me because I'm president of the Word Club. I've got to tell you that. And I got it in my vehicle and it says, don't worry about tomorrow. God's already there. Every day, God will send you the strength that you need to get through that day. One day at a time. God sent them what they needed, and he will send you what you need for that day. Every morning, they gather the food that God sent. Every morning, God sends what we need, but we need to just gather it. You need to gather strength to walk and think every day. Every day, food came in. They had to believe that it would come the next day. They were told they could only gather enough for that day. And those who gathered more than enough for that day, it became rotten and started stinking. A lot of people have stinking lives because they're trying to gather enough food for tomorrow on today. Because they worry all the time about everything. They're trying to gather tomorrow's strength. Today, tomorrow's answers. Today. Don't just look at where you are right now, because God has given you enough faith for today. Live in peace, live in joy, and know that God has a future plan for you, but you're not going to get there before you get there. So why not enjoy today? By faith, enjoy the rest of God. Defeat your worry, record your vision, release yourself. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the worship team and Pastor Jeremy can start playing, I wonder, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if you just need to say, God, I never realized God, you've given me everything I need for today. I don't need to pick up stuff for tomorrow. So that's the only way I agonize, God, is when I pick up stuff for tomorrow. But you give me enough strength to make it through today. And God, I know that, Lord, I want more than anything that vision written in my heart. I want something that you've directed me to, something where I'm looking forward to. And in anticipation, God, I will wait. I will wait, God, for what you have called me to do. For the vision you put in my heart, God, I will wait for your appointed time. And God, I know that you've been stretching me all through this to prepare me to handle today. So God, can I just release myself today to you? I just need to release myself into your hands. Because I can't look up after tomorrow. I can only handle today. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I know last week I asked you to stand up and come forward if you want to make that commitment to him that you're going to say faith. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing today. Maybe many of you have done this in your heart. You've already been there. You've already come to the front. You've already done that. You don't need to do it today. But maybe today there's some of you who are just really struggling with worrying. Today you know you need to look after today. God gives you what you require to make it through today. You don't need anything else. You just need him to make it through today. And I'm going to ask you, while hands are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're willing to make that commitment to him, you'll come and stand in front. And I'm going to pray with you. Just come and stand in front. Just get stand up where you're seated and come and stand here. And then you're saying, God, I'm just going to give it to you today. No, you give me what I require to make it through this day. I don't need to look after tomorrow because you're already there. God, you're already there. Will you come and stand here and give your worry to him? Give your concern to him. Give your problem to him. Give your situation to him. Give that person that You may have been praying for so long. Maybe you've been trying to change them, and you know only God can. And you've been trying to change them, and now it's time for you to release them and give them only God. When you come and stand up here, just at the front. Just come and stand before me. Now I'll pray with you. Thank you for the time. You can't make people do things. You can't make them do things. You can only be responsible for who you are. And maybe you need to tell God that this woman doesn't understand. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, why is it that we so often just want to change in our heart who we are? Father, why is it that we just can't accept how you created us? God, why is it sometimes that we just worry about a situation that hasn't even happened yet? Father, why is it that we think often it's just about us? Lord, why is it that sit and worry in a doctor's office? Why is it that we worry, God, instead of pray? Father, we need to set faith and we keep worrying today. And I pray, Lord, for those who are standing right here in this front room. Lord, they have concerns in their heart. And you know them. And you know what they need. You know what they require. God, you know, even today, that they need that fresh wind and that fresh fire that only you can give. God, and I pray that you would just sweep that amongst them. Sweep that amongst all of us, God. We need a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today. Because, God, we're worried. We don't want to worry anymore. So we give it over to you. We don't want to be presidents of the Word of God anymore. We give it over to you, God. We want to be people who are people of faith, people who trust you and trust only you. And we believe, God, in a fresh, real way that even today, right now, that you have given us all we require to make it through today. God, thank you for that strength. We just need to be who we are, who you've created us to be. Your pardons us, God, the vision that you called us to, the reason why you created us. God, please, we will write it down as we release ourselves. Remember, Lord, one day at a time. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We trust in you completely. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you.
Sometimes it doesn't quite feel that way. We can have to hope and get sure. see every heart this morning, and you know those who are coming to you, and those who are kind of turning away from you. Father, you know those who are making commitments to you. You know who those who are seeking you this day. Father, we pray for those switches you've turned on and off in our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you continue to inhabit our lives and make us just better followers of Christ this week. Lord, that regardless of how our day is going, Lord, our week is going, our things have turned about, Lord, may we come to you every day in this morning. Father, as you fellowship with us, may we be changed. Lord, I ask you to bless the food that we're going to partake in today. Best part of it is the fellowship of one another hanging out on the tables. Just pray your blessing on those who are flipping burgers and preparing the chores. Also, Lord, we ask your blessing on the ministry of the camp this year. We pray for Jeff George and his staff. We pray for Sean Brookshank and the staff that are going to work with him. And so many others, Lord, we pray for the